word declares that you're with us always. And Father, regardless of our feelings or even sometimes our vision, Lord, we step out in faith this morning, and we're believing that you're going to encounter your people, Lord, through the worship, through the word, through testimonies, Lord, that you would encounter us this morning. And God, we just we thank you so much for all that you are, all that you've done for us, Lord. There's just so much to be grateful for, and I pray that as we move forward in the service this morning, that our eyes will be fixed on you, Jesus, the one who saved our soul and just brought victory and freedom to our lives, Lord. So thank you so much, and I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Your weary bones. Open up the heavens.
We've waited for this day. We're gathered in your name, calling out to you. Your glory like a fire, awakening desire, will burn our hearts with truth. Your love risen way. Your love risen, we're singing. Open up the heavens, we want to see. Descending like a cloud, you're standing with us now, Lord, unveil our lives. You're the reason we're here, you're the reason we're singing. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, the mighty
this corner. Well, maybe we should spread
show
it out.
Show us your glory.
You know, when you call on the name of the Lord,
show us.
It's like, show us your glory. That's how it's done, children. Even if that's on the inside. You don't have to act like the preacher. But come on. Oh, God, show us. If the people of God who are called by his name will humble themselves and pray and seek the face of the Lord. Oh God.
Show us your glory.
We thank you, God, for your presence in this place. We thank you that you help us to set our eyes on you. Father, I just pray that we would let down, let go of everything that we're holding on to that hinders us from entering into worship with you this morning, that hinders us from communing and meeting with you this morning, because you are so willing to meet us. Father, help us to lay down those burdens, that you would give us freedom in this place.
Worship you openly, Lord. That is such a precious gift that we take for granted so often, Lord. And we just lift you up, and we just want to glorify you forever, Lord. That your name would never fall, that it would be lifted up on mountains and it would be lifted up in valleys, God. That we would never forget you, and that we would just cry out to you every day, that we would know your power, that we would know your glory. I'd rather be than right here and sing your praises.
Yes.
I just thank you for everything.
Woo! Thank you, Lord.
No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be.
The scripture says, the word of God says this. It says, I have been young and now I am old. I have not seen the righteous forsaken. This is the old brothers, old King Solomon. I've not seen the righteous forsaken. Neither have I ever seen his children begging for bread. God has always been faithful, and he has always kept his own because he loves his own. Amen. Takes care of his children. Not for a moment. Oh, you can tell there was moments when you forsook him, let him down, and oh my. But he's never let you down. And if you think he has, then maybe as the Lord gives you a little time and grace, you'll be able to look back at that time and re-examine the times when you thought you were forsaken. And you'll re-examine them in the light of God's love and his grace, and you'll say, oh, okay, yeah, there he was. There he was the whole time. Amen? Amen. Praise be to God. Sister, lead us in prayer for those people that are in your life.
Okay. God, we just thank you so much for all the hearts that we see turning to you, God. We just thank you for all the opportunities that we have to share your word and your power and your glory with our dear friends that need you so badly. Lord, we thank you for the broken people. That one day those people will have a testimony that is so great and so powerful that they could share, that they could lead other hearts to you. God, and I just thank you for all the opportunities that I've had this year so far to lead people to you.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, and I just pray that we see heart after heart changed, that we see person after person just come to you and cry out and surrender. Mm. Lord, because I think that's the hardest part for a lot of people, is that they can't come to you. They feel they can't come to you in their brokenness and in their hurt, Lord, because they don't feel worthy. And that just makes surrendering even harder, God. And I just pray that they would see that.
Yes,
the
Lord.
Surrender is so worth it.
Yes.
It's so worth it if they would just know your power and they would just feel your love, God, because that's all you say to us is I love you, I love you.
Mm.
And we cry out, how is that possible?
Mm.
But God, I am here to thank you today. Thank you that these hearts can be changed, that there is hope, that we never lose hope.
Mm. Yes, Lord.
God,
thank
Lord. I thank you so much for all that you've done this semester, and I pray that as I go back today, that you would just be with me, and
yes, Lord,
you would just
agree.
Be with every person here today. Mm. That when they go out from this place, that they would be able to share all you have with the world that needs you so badly.
Praise the Lord. Yes, Lord.
Lord, so thank you so much that we can come to you in our brokenness and say I love you, Father, and it means just as much as if we were perfect.
Mm.
So thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, so just to briefly state that, because I'll be preaching in a couple weeks, and I'm really going to, in that message, kind of drive it home. But just to give you a little bit of a intro, I guess. But God really has taught me something really important, and that's just the reality that as we go about our lives and the busyness of life and jobs and family and everything, it's so easy to just kind of get going and just in the motion and just kind of almost in a sense surviving the chaos around us. And in the course of that, we often end up neglecting personal time with God. And not necessarily because we want to, but it's just a product of the busyness around us and the sometimes just the world is just trying to jam everything into on your plate with entertainment and just busy, busy, busy. And we end up neglecting personal time with God. And I really want to challenge Harmony Church in 2017 to set aside 20 minutes a day for devotion, for personal devotion with the Lord, whether that be reading scripture or prayer, meditation. Just that you would be focusing on God and his word 20 minutes a day. And I know some of you are doing that, maybe even more. And thank you for doing that. But also, I want to challenge those that are doing it to find somebody and be their accountability partner And so what I'm really going to do, and I'm going to be pushing this over the next couple weeks, is to be setting aside 20 minutes and to have somebody that's going to hold you accountable to that. Because often we set these New Year's resolution goals, and within the first couple weeks, they're just done, like it's over. But if you have somebody that's going to hold you accountable, that's, you know, coming to you, whether it be once a week when you're in church, or maybe, you know, phoning you every couple days and saying, how are you doing? How's that 20 minutes going? Are you holding fast to it? And the reason that that's so important is because if you're not investing in your time with the Lord and growing closer to the Father, then it just, your spiritual life becomes stale, and the river that God wants to just flow through your life can often just get dammed up, and there can be these barriers that just slowly develop and build over time. So I want to challenge us as a church to just do 20 minutes, and I don't know how you're going to do that, how you want to do it. The daily bread is something that Pastor Bruce suggested is a really neat tool that we have, lots of them here. Take that, read that. You can read through the scripture in a year. It's a simple tool that can be used for those that maybe need some, you know, some guidelines there. But I want to just challenge us to do 20 minutes. And there's going to be, I experienced something pretty profound just a couple of weeks ago that really changed my life. And it wasn't a pretty thing. So I'll share that in a couple of weeks. But let's try to do 20 minutes a day for this new year. Can we do that as a church? Can we do that? Is that possible? Can we somehow maybe just take out one TV show or just knock something down that allows us that time to spend with the Lord personally? So let me just pray for us as a church for that little challenge. I know it's just kind of thrown at you a little bit. There'll be some greater detail for that for the message that I'm going to be preaching in a couple weeks. But let's just pray. Father, I ask that, that God, that you would stir in our hearts a desire just for more of you. Lord, and I know that your Spirit is guiding us. It's leading us. It's constantly pulling us to try to get away, to get into the Word, to be close to you. And I'm so thankful for your Spirit, Lord, that draws us to yourself. But Lord, there's a responsibility that we have as people to take initiative and take action, Lord. So, Father, I just I ask that you would inspire us for this challenge, Lord. And whatever it is that you want to do at Harmony, it's only going to come from an overflow, Lord, of your presence in our lives. Everything that's good that we have is as a result of you and the gifts that you give us. And if we're not going to the Father and we're not looking to you, Father, then there's going to be very little good that's flowing out of our lives. So I ask that there would be great things as a result of just spending more time with you and investing more time in your word and just pouring ourselves into being faithful to you. And God, I ask that you would stir that in us over these next few weeks, and that God, that you would really move in us. And Lord, I pray that for those that are having been faithful, that you would put someone on their heart. And you would say, can I be your accountability partner? Can you be mine? So that we could stick to this, that 2017 would be a year where we commit to just being faithful and disciplined in our devotion with you. And I just thank you for these things. I thank you for putting this in my heart and what you're doing at Harmony Church. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, we're thankful, O God, that you have given us so much. And Father, at times when we feel broken, or when there's brokenness around us, sometimes we feel that we cannot give our time, our talents, our gifts, ourselves. But Father, that's the time when we really need to give of ourselves. Father, we pray, Lord, for those that are struggling this day, those that are grieving. We pray for the family of Lindsay Stewart. We pray, God, your blessing on them, upon Sandra here, upon Iva and all the brothers and sisters, as they suffer the loss of their dad. We pray, Lord, for tomorrow's funeral service, that it would lift you up and glorify your name. Give comfort, Holy Ghost, where comfort is needed. Father, for those that need a touch of healing, we think of Madonna Cox having suffered a mild stroke this week and a number of issues that have come up. We think of Steve Thrasher with cancer. We think of Brother Keith with his kidney stones. We think of those that are shut in, those in nursing homes, those, Father God, that are not able to be in the house of God. We pray your blessing on them. We thank you, Father God, for those that are gathered together this morning to hear your word and those that are listening by the way of internet. And we pray, God, that you will minister the word today in such a way to break the power of darkness and to see the captive set free. Use, Lord, these gifts that we give today as seeds of faith to see that very thing happen wherever we sow the seed, in the ministries overseas, in the missionaries, in the church here local, in the parachurch ministries that we support. We pray, God, your victory for them in this new year. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Danny Shea is going to come back. And she's going to come and do a special.
Come out of sadness from wherever you've been. Come brokenhearted, let a rescue begin. Come find your mercy, oh sinner, come kneel. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. Oh, wanderer, come home, you're not too far. Lay down your hurt, lay down your heart, come as you are. There's hope for the hopeless and all those who've strayed. Come sit at the table, come taste the grace. There's rest for the weary, rest that endures. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't cure. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't cure. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. Heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal.
Isaiah 43. We rejoice in all of our kids. I know I spoke on it last Sunday, and guess what? It's probably going to be next Sunday. I'm still going to be speaking on this. This New Year's message is kind of taking on its own life, and so it'll be a little while until Pastor Dan comes and shares on the 22nd. So I realized as I was working on the sermon, I ain't going to get through it again today. So Isaiah 43, this New Year's word, verse 18 says this: do not call to mind, do not remember the former things or ponder the things of the past. For behold, I will do something. And the tense of the Hebrew there is something that he begins and he continues and he continues and he keeps on doing until it is absolutely completed and perfected. Behold, I will do something new. Now it will spring forth. Are you not aware of it? I will even make and I'm reading from the American Standard Version, I will make a roadway in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. These are the things the Lord is going to do and is doing. I am making a road in the wilderness and a river in the desert. Father, we are thankful, O God, that you give direction to your people, Lord. Father God, we're thankful, O God, that you put signs and by your Spirit and by your sovereign grace, Lord, sometimes you just corner us into a way that we just have to see the way. But Lord, we still have to choose. Father, today help us, Lord, in this new year and as we develop and cultivate the Spirit of Christ in us and as we begin to mature in the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that you would help us always make the choice for the road that you are preparing for us, Father God, not the road of our own making and not the road that the world would call us to walk on. Lord, may our journey, Lord, succeed with you. And may you guide us now even in the word, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Everyone would say. You know, it is important to make the right road if you want to get to the destination that God wants you to be on. This past week, three of our young ladies, yeah, some of you know her, headed out on a venture to a prayer retreat in some place in New York State to seek direction from God in their lives, and they left the church and went down the 31 highway and got on the 401 heading for the Ivy Lee Bridge at Gananoque, talking with one another, sharing with one another as girls and as guys tend to do, until they reached finally the border. And they saw that ominous sign in a foreign language, like the handwriting on the wall of the king of Babylon. But the sign said, "Bienvenue de la province du Québec." And they realized that when they got off the 31 highway on the highway 401 heading to Gananoque, they went the wrong direction. And somehow, my daughter can confirm this, somehow Cornwall didn't give them the hint that they were heading the wrong direction until they get to the, "You are now welcome to Quebec." Choosing the right road is a very important task. And we need to keep us spiritually awake, Lord, so that we can choose the right road in 2017. Praise God, there is grace, hallelujah, that even when you take the wrong road and you drive to the wrong province, I was glad that they made it back and didn't go to Florida when they got on the 81 highway in the States there. But anyways, there's still grace because God enables us to, at many times, to turn around and get back on the road. The problem is, of course, you lose precious time. And some of you have turned around and turned around and turned around, and you know how much precious time has been wasted in your own spiritual life and in your work for the kingdom. And some of you, and I would say this, even me, that when we see young people up here testifying of how they've led people to Christ and whatnot, and when they're still in their teenage years, and we kind of go, "Yeah, I wasted a lot of time." That doesn't mean that God doesn't want you to get on the road with Him again this year. God has built for us a road for 2017. Now, road building is expensive. I have watched my father build roads. Remember different subdivisions that he has built. Christie Lake subdivision up there, built beautiful houses and whatnot up in that country and near Perth. And I was with him from the very beginning, going through it, you know, starting off with, 500 acres of bush and taking that bush and marking it out and bringing the surveyors in and marking out the roads and cutting down the trees and bringing in the excavation and then bringing in the gravel and blasting away and setting up dividing up the various home lots and bringing it right through to the fact where you had to put drains in it and culverts and paved it up to the standards that the township wanted. And then in the end of it all, this is one of the difficult things is that you have to hand it over to the township so that it's theirs. I mean, the subdivisions, when you build them, you pay for it, and then you hand it over to the township. It's a very expensive journey. In fact, there are environmental assessments and those kind of things now. We were held up by the North Highland Purple Skink. You never heard of the North Highland Purple Skink? Amen. Praise God that God's road is already paid for by the blood of Jesus. For us, it would be an insurmountable task. And of course, religion does a lot of red tape and makes things very complicated for people to be able to get anywhere. And we have to pay our own road, and we have to cut down the trees, and we got to get the surveys and bring in the environmentalists and do all this kind of stuff to get a road through the wilderness, road through the bush. We end up worn out, and we end up complicated and worse off than we were before, but Jesus' blood paid for the road. Listen, you don't have to worry about paying for the road. The road is free, friends. He says, I will make a road in the wilderness. It's a way that God provides for it. It's not a man's thing. If you look at all the roads that are laid out for us that man has opportunity to give to you, be careful of those roads. Make sure the road that you take is the road that God has provided for you. If it's all about human effort, then you know that it's not God's road. If it's all about religious works, then it's not God's road. If it's all about keeping up with humanity and its changing ideas and flavors, it's not God's road. What does the road look like? What does the King's Highway look like? Well, it is a road through the wilderness. The first thing is, of what does this road look like? Well, let's identify what he says. He says it's a road that's through. It goes through the wilderness. It goes through hostile environment. Some of you listening today to this message are feeling trapped in your workplace, feeling trapped in a hostile workplace, a hostile relationship, a hostile school setting. Perhaps your creed or color or condition of your finances is making you stand out of the crowd and drawing the persecution or the ire of others. You're being treated poorly because of who you are and what you do. It's not an easy place where you're at. It's not an Aleppo, friends, okay? Not an Aleppo, Syria. It's not a Pyongyang, North Korea. It's not a Mosul, Iraq. These are very hostile places today. But we're still walking in a hostile world. Did you not know that the God of this world is Satan? Did you not know that this is a hostile place, but the God who created all of that, now that is a text of scripture one needs explanation on, but the God of this world, Satan, is the one in the air that has dominated the cultures of this world, has been involved in all of the wars and famines and disease and all of those things. And we have a God who is above all of that, who has created all things, and he has made a way through the wilderness for us. Adam and Eve first experienced the hostility of a fallen world when they were kicked out of paradise because of their choice. And the first day that they picked up a plant, and found out that there was a thorn in that plant, they realized that they were in a hostile environment. God's road is a way through. It is not a detour around. First time I was in Winchester was actually over 30 years ago. I was preaching in a little place out, was called Bradolbin, a little Baptist church out by Van Cleek Hill. And coming from Lanark, I was there several weeks in the summertime. And coming in, of course, I had to go into Winchester and turn around and go through Winchester and go through Chesterville, and you know, I had to go with these little towns, and that's before they had the bypasses. You remember back then? I got to know Winchester and Chesterville a little bit better then. It was a little confusing. You had to bring my uncle, of course, he told me how to get here. It was pretty easy, but you know, he drove the logging trucks, you know, on his way to Cornwall. Had to go through with a logging truck, you know, come into Winchester and turn and go, and some of you remember back then. Before there was a bypass. Now it's great. You don't have to go to Winchester or Chesterville at all, right? It's easy. It's convenient. We'd like to have an easy and a convenient way. We'd like to have a bypass of all kinds of hard things. But I'm sorry, friends, the road does not go around it. God's road goes through it. It goes right through it. It goes right through pain. It goes right through disease. It goes right through poverty all around us. It goes right through war and famine. It goes right through all of these things. And it's not, that is not part of the road, but it goes through it. You can see it all from there. There is a safety being on the King's highway. There is a safety being on the Lord's road. You don't want to get off the Lord's road in the wilderness, friends. You know, there is a road that primary road that goes through New Mexico into toward California, and there are signs along the way in this road because it goes through the desert, warning people: do not get off the main road. Do not get off the main road. Stay on the road. You know, make sure you fill up with gas and water and whatnot and go through there, because the next gas station, the next opportunity to get off this road that's safe is quite a piece through when you're going through the desert. Do not get off the main road. Don't try to, in your own conscience or in your own humanity, think, well, I can find a shortcut through this. I don't like this. I want to get a shortcut. A shortcut is death. God's road leads us through. There are some things that you may be facing in 2017 that you're going to be scrambling your roadmaps of life. You're going to look for a preacher on TV. You're going to find somebody that's going to tell you a way around it. Show me a way I can get around this. But if the Lord's road is clearly laid out to go through it, take the Lord's road. It's a safe place. You stay on the highway. It's a safe place. He'll bring you through it. If he brings you to it, the old timers used to say, he'll bring you through it. This may be a year you want to go through the Word. Pastor Dan gave us a challenge here this morning and will continue to challenge us. When was the last time you read through the Scriptures? When we go through the Word of God, we understand the road signs. We don't understand these signs when we're not familiar with God's Scripture. You see, God has a road map. It's the Word of God. If you're not familiar with the Word of God, you'll misunderstand the road signs along the way, because God's road comes with instructions. If you're plugged into the GPS of this world, it'll send you straight into the swamp. You cannot be trusted. The only way to trust to get on, find your way along God's road, is using God's road map, the one that He gave, the one that He has inspired by His Holy Spirit and given and delivered to us, 66 books written over the period of 3,000 years, but with one message, the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the only way that we're going to find ourselves safe through 2017. We can listen to the prophets. That is not to say necessarily the prophets of God, but all the prophets out there, and some of them claim to be from God, who says this is going to happen and this is what you need to do and this is whatever. Friends, go to the Word of God. It's His road. It's His map. That's the only way we're going to make it through. His intention is for us to make it through. He always intends to get us through, friends. He does not. It is never His will for us to mire and to fall into the dangers of the desert. It's always His plan to succeed His church. It's always His plan to bless His people. It's always His plan to take us through. Do not be scared of what you see around you. Stay on the road. You'll be okay. God will take care of you. He'll bring you through. Don't be scared of what you see out yonder, here, there, all over the place. If you see something scary on the right, don't run off to a side road on the left to get further away from it. God will bring you through it. It's His intention. It's His plan. As we walk with Him in intimacy along the road, we get to know Him better. We begin to look more like Him, talk like Him, think like Him. He's there with us. He's in the wilderness with us. He is not unfamiliar with the wilderness, friends. Remember what He first did in His ministry. Went right into the wilderness. It said the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness, because it was the road that God had before Him. And Jesus took the road that God had before Him, and that road led Him through the wilderness. He did not stay in the wilderness. You know, He was 40 days and 40 nights tempted by the devil in the wilderness. Not a great time, you might say. Something we certainly didn't want to have. Something we certainly wouldn't look forward to. But God took Him through it. And so now He stands with us like the boys on the Emmaus Road after the resurrection who walked with the Lord in intimacy along that road. They didn't even realize they were with Jesus until after he revealed himself. Then they said this. Remember that? They said, "Did not our hearts burn within us when he walked with us on the way?" That's one of the ways we know that we're on the right road, friend. What does the road of God look like? Well, I'll tell you what it looks like. It feels like Jesus. That's what the road feels like, friends. If your road feels like Jesus, you know you're on the right road. If it looks like Jesus, smells like Jesus, acts like Jesus, and talks like Jesus, that's a good sign that you're on the right road, the road with Jesus. In fact, if you keep on that road, guess what? You're going to act like, talk like, smell like Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The next point is this road is a road of holiness. That sounds like a negative thing. That sounds, it's Isaiah 35. I have this scripture. Let's look at it here because for time you want to look it up. That's great. Isaiah 35, the same prophet, the same spirit of God that moved upon the prophet Isaiah also said this very thing about the roadway in the wilderness. He said, "A highway shall be there, a road." He's talking prophetically, yes, about the kingdom coming. He's talking about millennial kingdom. He's talking about Messiah. But remember, friends, today there are many levels of the onion skin of prophecy. And many of these things will be ultimately fulfilled when Jesus Christ returns again. But friends, something happened when Jesus came the first time, and it brought the kingdom into play. And the kingdom is wherever the king is reigning and ruling. So in his kingdom, he says this, "A highway shall be there in the kingdom." Amen. "There shall be a road. It shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others. Whoever walks on the road, although a fool, shall not go astray." Oh, that's comfort. Hallelujah. Although he's stupid, he'll still make it. Amen. Didn't that give you a little comfort? Don't tell your neighbor they're stupid and they're going to make it. All right? You can tell yourself that, but don't tell your neighbor. Amen? It's a comfort to me to say, oh, praise God, even the foolish, even the stupid are going to make it. Praise God. If they just stay on the highway of holiness, the redeemed of the Lord shall walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come unto Zion. There's the road has a destination. Hallelujah. They will come with singing on that road, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy and sorrow, and sighing shall flee away. Amen. When we get to the destination. But you got to enjoy the journey. Amen. It's a way of holiness. God is holy the way he makes us holy. Amen. The road looks like him, tastes like him. He is holy. So the road is holy. Amen. It's the way of holiness. Those that walk on the way of holiness will experience his holiness. There are many roads out there, many religious roads, friends, that you could take at the beginning of this year, 2017, but there's only one road that'll make you more holy. That's the way of the Lord. Because it'll be his righteousness coming into you as you walk with him. And people say, I know. That's old covenant talk. But friends, God's road is still a holy road, even when it's paved with grace. I can take you to many places in the New Testament where he talks about holiness, where it talks about the way of righteousness. In 1 John chapter 2, in fact, in several places in 1 John, he talks about the way being a way of holiness. Whoever says he abides in Jesus ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. That's the way of righteousness, friends. Jesus was a voice, like John the Baptist was a voice crying where? Where did John cry out? He was crying in the wilderness, "Make straight the paths of the Lord." Jesus walked in the wilderness, and he'll walk with us, friends. Walking in intimacy, walking and taking us in a place, a destination of holiness. It is a way of holiness, God's way. Is a way of righteousness. So many want to make a way that keeps all the world stuff. And it's not. It's not on God's road. And some think that because their road has got some crosses on it, there's crosses along the roadside, and it usually means somebody died there, actually. It usually means that something very negative took place. It usually means tragedy. The world has its crosses along the road, exemplifying times of pain and times of suffering. But friends, God's road is a way of holiness. Jesus said this, John chapter 16, he said this, "These things I've spoken unto you, that you might have peace." Then he adds this, he says, and that's good stuff. Ooh, glory to God. Thank you, I want peace. "In this world you will have tribulation." Oh, no, Lord, why didn't you stop at the peace? Why did you have to go on? Why couldn't you leave it right there, Lord? Oh, I like the peace. I like everything just to be hunky-dory in my life. I like that part where you said about peace. And then you come on, Lord, and you add to this part, "In this world you give us a guarantee of tribulation." But then he adds this, "Thanks be to God, but be of good cheer." He says, "I have overcome the world. I've already walked the road. I've already accomplished the path. I've already fulfilled that journey. I have been in the wilderness. I have walked it already, and I have overcome it." Guess what? And you're going to do it too. Just as I have overcome, I have walked that path. It was not an easy path for the Lord Jesus Christ. The path of suffering, the path of many things, the path of rejection. God always provided for him. The Father always took care of him. The Father was close to him all along the way. When God led him into the wilderness to fast and pray, it wasn't because there was no provision of food. It wasn't because there was no provision of water. It wasn't because that God wasn't providing for his Son, Jesus Christ. God always provided for him, took care of his every need. But there were times when he was called to fast, and that was part of the road. He made it through. And he says, "You can too, if you walk with me." Lastly, oh, it's going to get really good here. You're going to love this one. The road's a narrow and difficult one. Be careful if the road is too easy. Now, this is good news. Huh? This is good news. Because it's God's news, and therefore it's good news. The road that God has for us this year isn't necessarily an easy one. In fact, all of things would say that there are going to be hard things happen. In fact, as time marches on, it would seem that the road that we're walking on as Christians together is getting harder. It demands a greater price all the time. I thought it'd get easier. I thought, you know, I paid my dues when I was young, and I'm just wanting to coast. Coast into Jesus, coast into heaven. You know, just kind of get on the skateboard and just, you know, you see the kids, they make a few good runs at it, and then they just kind of coast. And some Christians are like that too. Oh, we, you know, paid our dues when we were young. I did this and did that and what, and now I just would like to coast into glory. Sorry, saints. It's not a toll road. Because the roads, I said, already has been paid for. That's not the price we're talking about. Not some kind of thing of righteousness which you have done. But Matthew chapter 7 says this. Dare I read this? Matthew chapter 7. If you want to look at it in your own Bibles, that's good. I appreciate that when you look at your own Bibles. Matthew chapter 7 says this. I just want to make sure I read it with the same translation. I think I have it here too. Enter by the narrow gate. Jesus, of course, said that he is the way, so... For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. You want an easy road? Doesn't end so good, though. There are many who go on it. The broad road is the popular road. He says, verse 14, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the road which leads to life. And there are few that find it. Wow. That's Jesus. Talking about the way, talking about the road, talking about the Christian life, talking about the experience that he has for us. Now, which word would you like to emphasize? Let's look up here. What have I underlined? Oh, because that was the preacher trying to pound you a little bit. Look at that, verse 14. Narrow and difficult. That's my fault. what do you want to underline there? Life. You see, that really is what we should look at. Yes, the road is narrow and difficult. That's the identification of it. But the point of the thing is life. You know, that is the focus. The focus is life. He says, yeah, there's a road, but and some would say, oh, if it's difficult, if it's narrow, if I have to give up this, if I have to give up that, you know. He says, I want to take an 18-wheeler full of my junk onto God's road. And God says, no, it's half loads, not even that, you know. You gotta pare down some of these things if you're gonna take my road. If you want that kind of road, there is a big road down, there is a big way, there is a 16-lane highway going straight to destruction that you can take everything with you on it. But the end isn't so good. But there is a promise at this, and that is life. Jesus said that He was the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the life. The emphasis should be really on the life. We get hung up with the difficulty of the road. But friends, do you want life? Do you want to live? And it's not when you die. We're not talking about eternal life only, although that is included in the package. We're talking about Jesus saying to the church and saying to those that are followers of Him, He says, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it abundantly when you die. No, He did not say that when you die. It's right now. You see, the road that He has for us is a road that does have a destination of heaven, does have a destination of the fullness of the kingdom, amen, does have a destination, as the prophets called Mount Zion. It does have a glorious destination to it, but it has a glorious journey, a journey of life. This is why we will choose the rough road. That is why we will choose the way in the wilderness. That is why we will choose the road that is difficult, because we get to enjoy life. And life abundantly. You see, if it was a religious road where we have to give up all of this, oh, and sacrifice and hit ourselves in the head, you know, whatever else, I don't know. You know, and wear camel skin underwear or whatever they had to do in the old days, the old monks, you know, and whatever it had to do, oh, we're going to do this. And the way was dead. I can understand a generation rising up, even in this country, who says, you know what, I'd rather go to destruction. And they're choosing it day and day and day and moment by moment. Young people today, a generation is choosing destruction. We want to go to hell. We like destruction. We want to be destroyed. We want to head down that road which is destructive. You know, we know that it's, you know, they even may have an understanding that they're going to crash someday. But they say, you know what? It's better than religion. So God's road is the road of life. It's not just about what you have to give up. It's about what you gain. And you gain a whole lot more than what you ever give up. And if you don't know that, and if you haven't experienced that, then get on the road, friends. I'm going to talk more about that next week because I'm running out of time. God's road is a narrow road. It's a difficult road. It's the way of holiness. It's the way through the wilderness. I got a song coming. Sister Bonnie, would you come to the piano? I'm going through. But I'm asking you today to take the road of the Lord. I'm asking you today, would you come with me? I want to get on that road. I want to get on the road of life. I know it may be difficult. I know it may be challenging. I know it may mean giving up certain things, but it'll be gaining so much more. It's a way through the wilderness. Father, I just pray today in the name of Jesus for each one that is here under the sound of my voice, Father God. Today is a day of choice. Today is a day of decision. Today is a day of making that right putting our indicator lights on and taking a road that will lead us to the border of Zion, that will take us to the gates of glory, that will take us to the edge of the kingdom of our God, a road that will take us success and prosperity and blessing in Him, a road of happiness and peace and joy and love in the Holy Ghost, a road of life. Father, we pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that people in this church today would choose the road of life. Abandon the way of destruction. Abandon the way that is broad and easy. Abandon the way that the road of the world wants to set out before you. Abandon the road that's all lit up with lights and looks attractive, but the end is a wasted life. Friend, today, choose Jesus. He'll walk with you. Enjoy the sweet fellowship with Him. In Jesus' name. Amen. Humor me, people, as we stand. Pastor Dan's going to come to close, but this old-time chorus got in my head this morning, and I went looking for it. I'm going through. It goes something like this. Remember it, sister?
Yes.
Oh, good. I'm going through. I'm going through. I'll pay the price, whatever others do. I'll take the way with the Lord's anointed few. I've started out with Jesus, and I'm going through. Okay, this is our covenant. This is our confession today. I'm going through. Could you sing it like you're meaning it, like you're taking a new choice, like you're taking 2017, and you're making a decision for the Lord today, and you're saying, I'm going through. Let this be your confession as Pastor Dan comes. Amen.
So, Father, we just we thank you for the word that was given this morning. I'm thankful for a pastor that's not afraid to share difficult things, things that are true. So, Lord, I just ask that you would work this message into our hearts, bury it deep within us. And, Father, may you and your presence be that goal, that hope that we anchor our lives in. Because it's only when we experience you and your life and your goodness that the challenges and the difficulties of the road that we take are nothing when our eyes are fixed on you. So Lord, let our eyes be just so fixed on you. Because when we're focused and on you, Lord, you carry us through. So may we go this morning in your peace, in Jesus' name, amen.